Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where we discuss the biblical roots of our people and our faith. Linked to Accurate Precious Metals Refineries, our morning show sponsor at HebrewNationOnline.com. Lines are open, so call 503-967-3001 if you would like to join in the conversation. You can also chat with us online in the morning show chat room at HebrewNation.net.
And we are live. This is the Hebrew Nation Morning Show this week, July 15th, 2015, with your two cup of Shebrews, Teresa Casolino, and me, Kimberly Rogers. And we're live. You've been listening to us pre-recorded in the last 3 weeks, but here we are this morning. And so the reason I'm really letting you know and repeating that we are live is because you're going to want to call in today to the show at 503-967-3001 in order to talk with our guests today. We have Joni with us again today, and she is going to address some issues and talk about some new things, and we're going to have her come on in a minute. But our other guest in the next hour is Aliana and Ron Humphreys of Journeys Are Us, and we're going to talk about going to Jordan and Israel. And Teresa, how are you?
Doing well. Doing really well. It's kind of strange, you know, because we've been running reruns the last 3 weeks, but here we are again.
Already. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And boy, that was a mouthful this morning. Yeah. So it was a mouthful. Yeah. Now what?
Now what?
Joni.
Joni.
Yes. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome back.
How are you today?
I'm just blessed today and so happy to be with you.
Well, good. You had said you wanted to, you had some special things you wanted to say to our audience today, so I'm just going to turn this right on over to you, and whenever we have a question, we'll butt in, and if we have a caller, we'll butt in, because this is a very special show today.
Great. I'm looking forward to getting to share with all of you. I'm so blessed to be here this year. And experience the multitudes of people that are beginning to hear what the Lord is revealing in this day. This, you are being a part of a very, very special time of a great change, in the world as we approach the 1,000-year reign of Yeshua. And to approach that, we are facing tribulation, as you know. But the gathering has already begun for over 100 years back into the land. And as it says in Jeremiah 3:14, it's one of a city and two from a family. And in Isaiah 27:12-13, the Lord says he's gathering us one by one. It is not a gathering where we wait for a big explosion and then we all go at once. This is a choice that we are making in these days. And I am so grateful, and I trust that you too are grateful to be alive, to be chosen to be alive at this time. And grateful that Yahweh has begun to remove the scales of the whole house of Israel. Because that's what it says. It's not the scales of Judah's eyes. It's the scales of the whole house of Israel, and that's us. And so, and he has been bringing us back into Torah. And that is so awesome for the and necessity of this time. I did speak with a friend of Kimberly's a couple of days ago, and he was expressing to me his desire to continue on in his journey to go to the land, and yet he has fear. And it was good for me because it's been 20 years since the Lord allured me to the wilderness, as it says in Hosea 2. But that you do have certain fears. But I could answer him that I've been there 20 years and I've not been afraid. But there's a reason for that. It's because I sought the Lord and it was His word that was driving me on. And He was saying, I need confirmation. And that's the second thing that we do need is confirmation from the Lord. And it must have been 500 times in these last years that I had gone to the Lord and sought Him for confirmation that I'm doing the right thing. And He is never impatient with me in that. He is always faithful to give me a confirmation. And the third thing that he was concerned about was the fear of leaving his family and friends and them being in the wrong place at the wrong time. And that is a concern for us too. But for me, as I'm reading these scriptures, some of what we're going to be talking about today, it's convincing me that we're going not for ourselves, but for the children to be a part of this great time with Yeshua that we don't want to miss. And so I wanted to give one example of him confirming and how he did it so that you too will just be seeking him on confirming, is this the time? And you won't need to be concerned about, is this the time to go, until he's given you the word, confirmed it, and giving you peace in your heart. And not only that, he's giving you the grace to do his will and what he's saying. So what you're waiting for. But one day we thought we were going over there for a place prepared for the Jews to come. And then we realized it's the whole house of Israel that must be gathered at this time and is being gathered at this time. We realize they're praying daily for the diaspora to return, and they are, and it is happening from all the countries already. And so I became overwhelmed with this because we had not been able to store up a lot of food or whatever, and even know what to do or how to do it. And we tried to dehydrate, and it all turned black. And I was overwhelmed by the millions that were coming, and we didn't do anything to prepare. Right. And so I cried out to him and said, Father, please help me with this. I opened my scriptures, and my eyes fell directly to Isaiah 33, verse 16. And this is what I read. Your bread will be handed to you, and your water will be sure. And it is your eyes who see the king in his beauty, and the land afar off. Very interesting portion.
All your worries must have just stripped away.
We had it confirmed that Jordan had been chosen to be the country to house all of the food for the third world countries for the famines that are ahead. And it was confirmed later that they had found the pools, artesian pools in the desert, and it was piped into our house. And we had that verified by one who'd been working in the hydrology department. It's perfect pH balance. So the water was there, and they found gallons underneath. So he confirmed it in the flesh as well. But when I went back and read this portion, Isaiah 33:1-17, it sets the stage for the context. First, it's saying,
You know what, Joni? This is getting back. This right here, what you're talking about, is why people should not be afraid. Because like you said earlier, we are going for our children. When you said that, it reminded me of the children of Israel when they complained after the 10 spies gave their bad report. And the Lord said, you're not going to go, but I am going to take your kids over there. So, he didn't take them, the ones that complained and had fear about going. He did not take them, but he took their children.
Right. And the only thing that eliminates that fear is the word of Yahweh to your heart. And so that is where you have to run to stand against it, because it's actually sin to be afraid of anything but Yahweh himself. It is.
That's because you're not trusting him. Right.
You've got to run to the word, and he'll confirm it. And so let me read the context here, because it's going to set the whole idea of what's going on. It starts out with, woe to you, the spoiler. And that word is Shaddad. It's the same one in Daniel that is the destroyer, that is the anti-Messiah. And he's spoiling and dealing treacherously, and he hasn't been spoiled yet. But he will have an end, it says. But then it says, Yahweh is gracious to us, for we wait for you. You are their arm every morning, our salvation also in the time of trouble. And that word trouble is tribulation. At the noise of the tumult, the people fled. At the lifting up of the sails, the nations are scattered, because he has said 15 times he's going to be not just scatter, but utterly consumed by fire and destroy and come to an end. That's all the same word, consumed by fire, all the nations, 15 times. And your spoil is gathered like the gathering of the caterpillar, running to and fro, the locusts running upon them. But Yahweh is exalted. He dwells on high. He has filled Zion with judgment and righteousness. Wisdom and knowledge are the stability of your times and the strength of salvation. The fear of Yahweh is his treasure. Behold, their valiant ones are crying out. The ambassadors of peace are weeping bitterly. That's today. The highways lie wasted. The wayfaring man ceases. That's important to know. There's a time when there will be no more travel. He has broken the covenant. He has despised the cities. He regards no man. So the earth is mourning and languishing. But now I arise, says Yahweh. Now I am exalted. Now I lift up myself, and he receives chaff and stubble. Your breath is as fire that devours you, and the people are the burnings of lions, and the thorns are cut up and burned by fire. So we're talking about this judgment that is by fire. The first one by water, this one by fire. Hear, you that are far off, what I've done. The sinners in Zion are afraid. So the people are crying out. Who among us can dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us can dwell with everlasting burning? It's he who walks righteously and speaks uprightly. He who despises the gain of oppression and shakes his hands from holding bribes. He stops his ears from hearing of blood. That's hard to do, and even this day. And shuts his eyes from seeing evil. No television. Okay. He is dwelling on high, and his place of defense is the munitions of rocks. Now, I have to tell you what those words are in the Hebrew. The place of defense is Mizgah. It's a refuge that's inaccessible in a high place, a cliff. And the munitions of rocks. Munitions is the Mistad. It's castles, or the stronghold of the rocks, is Selah. That is Petra. So what it's the castle and it's
from,
castles
Joni?
Of Petra.
Joni?
Then it says,
Joni?
Yes.
Teresa was asking a question. I think you're having a hard time hearing her a little bit.
What verses are you reading from?
This is my Isaiah 33, and now we're at verse 16 and 17 that the Lord gave me in answer to my cry.
Right.
Then he said, there they are in the castles and the stronghold tower, high place of Selah. And the bread is given to him, and his waters are sure. And your eyes see the king in his beauty, and behold the land afar off. It is a high place where you're looking right on to Israel. And that's pretty inclusive of what is going on at that time. Okay, so here we go. Now, there are three destinations. I've talked to you about it. Oh, before that, so this is the gathering, though, that you're a part of. Jeremiah 16, 14 through 15. Therefore, behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that it's no more to be said as Yahweh lives, who brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. For Yahweh lives, who is bringing up the children of Israel from the land of the north, from all the lands where he has driven them, and I am bringing them again to their land that I gave to their fathers.
That's going to be awesome.
That is
when
pretty
that
clear.
So tell me one, just really quick, you had three pressings on you. I numbered the second and the third one, but what was the first one again, where we need to have confirmation was number two, and with respect to our fear of leaving family and friends. What was the first one?
Well, the first one was the fear, and you're seeking the Lord because of that and finding his word.
Okay.
And
right.
That then is a confirmation. The second thing is to have that confirmed over and over and over again. And then the last fear was you're leaving your family and loved ones, and you need to see the scriptures even that we have. There are such scriptures for the blessings of our descendants, and we cling to those over there, those of us who have left our family. And of course, there's a promise that if we do leave them, he's going to give us more in both on earth and in heaven. Doesn't he promise that? Okay, so, but Isaiah 44:3 says, he will pour out his spirit, his ruach, upon our seed, and blessings on our offspring. Isaiah 49:22-17-28 is a long discourse of how he is bringing our children to us, and they're going to be carrying them to us. And they will come. And then Isaiah 54:13-15 says, all your children will be taught of Yahweh, and they'll be established in righteousness and great peace, far from the oppressor, and they will not fear. Terror will not come near them. So we claim all of these for our children as we're doing this work. Now, remember, there are three destinies, though, and so you are at a time of decision. Interesting about these, where the Lord is having you fit into, whether it's to die by the sword, go into captivity, or be delivered. Those references are Revelation 13:10, Daniel 11:33, Jeremiah 15:2. And Jeremiah 43:11. But there are reasons why you're going into captivity, and I wanted to read those to you. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because they have rejected knowledge, I also reject you, so that you no more will be priests to me. Seeing that you have forgotten the Torah of Yahweh, I also forget your children. So we're doing this for our children because we don't want them to be forgotten. And aren't we grateful that the Lord has restored the Torah to our hearts? And by the way, the Torah portion this week, there's two. It's a double one. The first one is entitled Tribes, and the second one is their journey from Egypt to the Holy Land, and they're all listed there. In verse 15, you're in Sinai. Verse 16, you leave there, and you camp in verse 35 at Ezion Geber. That is Aqaba, my friend. That is where Solomon received all of the wealth of the world, and Yeshua is receiving all of the wealth of the nations, that's his people, now at Taman. Ezion Geber is the backbone of the Mighty One, and that's where they camped. And then in verse 36, they go to the wilderness of Tin, which is on the in the Arba, on the next to Jordan right there, but it's in the Arba, all in the Arba, and there's the west side, which is Israel, and the east side of it, which is Jordan, but it's in Sin, and that's where Kadesh Barnea is, it says, right where Kadesh Barnea is, and it then backs up with the Paran wilderness. It's all right there. And in the next verse, they go, because it's 38 years later, they go to Mount Hor. And Mount Hor is right there at Petra. And so that's what they're talking about in your portion this week. And this is where the children journeyed. And Ezion Geber, which is Aqaba, and a lot on that side, is where they camped.
Hey, Joni.
And they were headed to Mount Hor. Yes.
Tell us again what you said to us before the show started about the Torah portions, the tribes traveling.
And I just did. That was Numbers 33, verses 15, 16, 35, 36, and 37. I was explaining to you the very journeys that they went on, and that's what the Lord's talking to you about this week.
Right, but the way you put it to us was just a title, The Tribes Traveling, and I just thought that was so
absolutely
funny when you said it.
It's the tribes journeying, and that's what he's calling us to do in this movement. Now, for those that may go into captivity, though, if they're not going to be part of the remnant, they're going to die by the sword, and it could be that you're martyred. But also, it could be because of your evil or the evil in your land where you're being judged. But Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they've rejected knowledge, and I will also reject them and their children. That one I read. And Isaiah 5:13 says, therefore my people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. And their honorable men are famished, and their multitude is dried from thirst of the word, I feel it is. And then in Psalm 107, 10 through 11, it says, they are those sitting in darkness and the shadow of death. They're bound in affliction and iron, that's captivity, because they rebelled against the words of Yahweh and despised the counsel of the Most High. So that's how important it is for us to listen to his counsel of what he's saying right now so that we do not go into captivity. But you, my beloved, are the people that are described in Jeremiah 23, 3 through 9. And I'm gathering the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I've driven them, and I'm bringing them again into their folds. And that word folds is Noah, means resting places.
Hey, Joni.
Resting places. Yes.
We're getting up next to this first break in the first hour here, so we're going to have to cut you off right there and come back and hang on to that thought because we want to hear more of what you have to say. Stay tuned.
Okay.
You carry me through the darkness. this night. Through the shadow of death into the light.
Shalom. KPJC Salem.
Welcome back, everybody, to the second half hour of the Hebrew Nation Morning Show this July 15th, 2015, with Teresa Casolino and me, Kimberly Rogers. And our guest this morning is Joni. And I just love Joni. I had an opportunity to meet her. She is just, sweet and genuine and sincere and so knowledgeable about the scriptures. And, you can feel that. When you meet somebody and you know that they're filled with the Spirit, and I really believe that about Joni, that she is filled with the Spirit, and we've done prayer meetings together and just awesome. And so I'm very happy to have you back, Joni, to speak with our audience once again about this issue of fleeing Babylon. And on the other side of the break, you were mentioning about our protection being Noah. So you want to continue that thought?
It's not just Noah. That was the meaning of that word. But this is from Jeremiah 23:3-9, where he is describing this gathering that he's doing. And he says, I'm gathering the remnant of the flock out of their country, where I've driven them, and I bring them again to their folds. And that word is the word, actually, Noah. But the meaning of it is it's a resting place. So that's something we need to know, that as we are gathered, it will be a resting place. And it says they'll be fruitful and increase. And I'll set up shepherds over them and feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed. Because we were talking about fear earlier, and that's what happens once you are gathered. Neither are they lacking, says Yahweh. And behold, the days are coming then when we have our king, out of the righteous branch of David, it's Yeshua, of course, executing judgment and justice in the earth. That would be his reign. And it's in his day that Judah is saved and Israel dwells safely. And that word is batak. And it means hope, with hope, trust, confidence in a safe refuge that is not on high. So beginning time, we're going to land in a place that is not high, like Aqaba is, and then we'll be put up on high, which I read to you earlier. So that's what we're reading there. Now, I want you to understand that this is who you are in Jeremiah 30 also. Thus says Yahweh, behold, I am bringing again the captive ones who once were prosperous. That word captivity means the captive ones who once were prosperous of Jacob's tents and have mercy on his dwelling places. And the city is rebuilt. And we've been seeing that happen, haven't we? And everything is being put in order there. And out of them proceeds thanksgiving and a voice of them making merry. And I multiply them. And they're not few, and their children also are before him, and their congregation is established before me, and I am punishing all those who oppress them. But I cause him to draw near to me, and he approaches me. And who is this that engages his heart to approach me, says Yahweh? That word is actually the Arab. And so it's interesting that that's where he has us also, is with the Arab. And he goes on to describe that he's going to be one of the leaders. So we shouldn't be surprised if that's where we're going.
Well,
Joni,
go ahead. You know, it says that the sons of Kedar and Nebaoth, I think it's in Isaiah 47, it says that they will be nurturing his people.
Yeah.
And so we shouldn't be surprised that the Arabs would be participating in that.
Yes. And this portion is saying that the evil is going to follow the wicked. His fierce anger will not return until he's done it and until he's performed the intents of his heart. In the last days, you do consider it, but that means completely understand it. So you are the people of understanding. That's what I want you to understand. You are to be the people who are understanding these things. Now, yes, we remember that we have to know the safe place. Daniel 11:41 tells us it's Edom and Moab, and the former sons of Ammon escaping the hand of the Anti-Messiah. Revelation 12 tells us that the woman goes into the wilderness on those wings of the eagle as he's delivering us. And there she is fed for 3.5 years away from the presence of Satan even. And that is a place that it says Elohim has prepared in Revelation 12. And so she is 3.5 years is the length of the tribulation. So she needs to be there. And you, my beloved, are the ones who are like the bride in the Song of Solomon. And as I told you, you are in verse 1:5 of Song of Solomon, the tents of Kedar. That's the Bedouin tents. In verse 14 of chapter 2, you're in the crest of Selah with its secret stairs. And in 2:17, you're in the mountains of Batar. That's the craggy mountain that divides, has the division in it, the divided rock. In chapter 4:16, you're in his garden in Taman, which is the south of Jordan, and where we land on the ship. And from 6:13, you are the camp company of the two camps of Jacob, Mahanaim. That's Rachel and Leah's kids, the whole house, isn't it? And you look like that. In other words, he said the two camps are going to come and be joined together there. And that Mahanaim was in Jordan the first time. It's where Jacob divided his family. And then he promised Esau that he would come on to Selah, but he turned and went back across to Shechem across the way and to Jerusalem over there. And he didn't come. But we are Jacob now as the whole house, and we are coming now back to Seir, to this very spot, to Selah, where is Esau's home.
So
wow. We are fulfilling
wow.
that bed.
I so never saw that before. I did not see that before. That you're
I
right.
I know, honey. I know. He just showed it to me not long ago. And this
that
is chapter
so amazing.
8:5. This is the bride who is coming from the wilderness. She's in the wilderness, leaning on her beloved in the wilderness of the south of Jordan and Israel. And 8:14 says she's in the mountains of spices. That's on the Spice Road, the King Highway in Jordan. 7 times it tells you right there that that's who you are and where you are. Now, Daniel 11:33 says, they that understand among the people instruct many. They do fall by the sword, by flame, and by captivity, and by spoil many days. So many are going to be staying back. But you are the people that are understanding these days. Most people won't even listen to the news because they don't want to know about it. But you're understanding. And Daniel 12:9-10, you're the ones, many who are being purified and made white and tried, but the wicked are doing wickedly, and none of the wicked understand, but the wise understand. Hosea 14:7-9, they that dwell under his shadow do return. Do you hear that? They revive as the grain and grow as the vine. And Ephraim says, what have I to do anymore with idols? I have heard him and observed him. And I remind you that in Isaiah 65:11, Ephraim is in the gardens worshiping other gods, and their names are God and many. Now, it's G-A-D, it's like the tribe in our English, but it is the word God, G-A-W-D, and it means a troop. And it is still the false God's name that we're using now for him, because it's a troop of gods, and we're going to, throughout the whole world, we're going to call them God. And that is a false deity. And many means fame and fortune. So is Israel out there, Ephraim out there worshiping a god by the name of God and fame and fortune? I ask you. But here is what Yahweh says from that point. I am the green fir tree. Your fruit is found from me. Who is the wise one? He understands these things. Prudent, he knows them. For the ways of Yahweh are right, and the just walk in them, but the transgressors fall in them. So I remind you that he says 11 times, we are not going to be taken out of this world alive in a rapture the way it's been described to us, because we need to be listening to the words of Yeshua. And he says in Matthew 24, it's going to be the day just like it was in Noah's time. And what happened in Noah's time? The righteous eight were kept, and the right. evil was destroyed out of the earth. So right. he says 11 times that very thing. And I wanted to read a couple of those to you. And right here, Psalms 104:35 says, let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and the wicked be no more. Bless you, Yahweh, my soul. Hallelujah. Proverbs 2:21-22 says, for the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors rooted, and that means destroyed, nitzach, out of it. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on Yahweh, they inherit the earth. The wicked perish. These two are from Psalm 37. The wicked perish, and the enemies of Yahweh are going to be as the fat of lambs. They shall be consumed in smoke and consume away. And 28,
Joni,
for Yahweh. Yes.
I have a question for you as you're talking about the destruction, because, you know, we learn that Bozrah, where we'll be kept, Moab, where we'll be kept, and all those places will be destroyed. And it's seems to be a point of confusion for people about this destruction, because they read that these are to be destroyed by the Lord, but then we're all supposed to be there being kept by him as well. So, explain this to people. I have an explanation that I give, but I want to hear you say it.
Okay. So, but Bozra is actually in Edom. It isn't in Moab.
Right.
But the destruction is going to be, they're going to be able to look down on it from Bozra, because that's where the blood comes. It's going to be the Dead Sea. It's right at the bottom of the Dead Sea is Bozra. And but in Moab, when we're talking about that, Isaiah 16:1 tells us very clearly something very special about that area, and that is that the daughters of Moab, where they're fleeing from, come to the rivers of Arnon, which is the top border there of Edom and Moab. It's the border. in those at that river. And they are saying to the daughters of Zion who are there, you'll have to read this in the first of chapter 16 of Isaiah. The daughters of Zion are there, and they're asking them to hide them from the destroyer, the anti-Messiah, until the tabernacle of David is set up. They understand that Yeshua is coming, and then that Yahweh says to them, hide them and do not uncover them. So they're going to come to the south part of Jordan, and that's the part that's going to be somehow miraculously protected. It's possible.
Right.
That's when the, now this is me, so I'm not just reading it, I can find it for you, but it takes so long.
Right.
I need
but
to just tell you.
One of the things that I want to point out, though, is that the areas that the Lord says will be destroyed, that also is where the woman is housed or taken care of. Yes. That's a process. Yes. It's, you know, he's going to take care of us, but he will go back and destroy it after we're gone.
Yes.
He's not going to destroy that before we get there or while we're there.
Right. But right after he takes us on into Jerusalem, then it is hell forever. But I believe it's opened up when the anti-Messiah sends that flood to, because he can't get to her. Now, he can't get to her. He's looking for her in Revelations 12, but he doesn't get to her. And so he sends out this flood to drown her. And sure enough, the turkey has dammed up the Tigris and the Euphrates, which made it the Garden of Eden back when. And the World Book has said if that dam system breaks, it's going to flood Lebanon, Syria, and Jordan. And so when that water comes, the earth opens up and swallows it, though. And I believe that's the opening to hell that's going to happen. And because we have to have a place to go and look down on the worm. This is the last verse of Isaiah. When you come up for Sukkot and you're celebrating the feast during the 1,000 years, you've got to go look down on the worm of those who have come against Yahweh and see that it has not burnt out, that it's still burning. That's what he's saying there. So we've got to go somewhere and look down. I said, oh, I don't want to see that. And he says, yes, you will. Yes, you will. Because if it's the tribulation time, there's a whole nation born from each little child, and they haven't accepted Yeshua, or they have to decide between Yeshua and Satan, because he's released at the end and he's going to deceive them. But if we go and look down and see that his worm is still there, we'll know he's still down there during the millennium. Do you understand? And so it is going to be, because the scriptures tell us that Edom is hell forever. It tells us it's a desolate, burning desolation for forever. And I think it's going to stay there. And what's the purpose of that? Well, then we tell our children and those that are being raised that they must follow Yeshua and not be deceived at the end. So that's what how I believe the whole thing fits together, because it does say it's going to be hell forever, but it's at that time, as you're saying, after she's been protected there. And that's why he wouldn't want to come into there, because he knows the next thing that's going to happen to him here, he's going to be, for the beginning of the tribulation, he's thrown down into hell, isn't he? And kept there. And so he knows the word, and he knows that's what's going to happen to him if he doesn't beat Yahweh before that. So anyway, that's that. That covered a lot of territory, and I haven't used my scriptures to do it, but I've got them all here. And
that's a lot of information for sure, and I think that's watching this pit burning would be a good way to get the kids and, you know, everyone to reconsider just which way they're going to choose.
Yes, because what I really wanted to talk to you about is at this point, we really, really need to listen to the words of Yahweh. And I was starting with that because he says it's going to be like the days of Noah. So when he says in that portion that there's two out there in the field and one is left and one is taken, we want to be the one that's left, not the one that's taken. And then he also had told us in the Matthew 13 about the judgment at the end, where we're all gathered and it's the tares that are taken out and they're burned. And right. So that's the evil being taken out. Also, though, remember that Revelation is written by Yeshua. It's his revelation. It's not John's. It was given to John, but it's Yeshua's words. So we have to be sure. I've already spoken about Revelation 12 and the woman and what the serpent's doing. And then, but let's go to Revelation 7, where we see the 144,000 and the tribes, and it named those tribes. And then he says, in verse 9, let's see, verse 9, though, he said, behold, after seeing these, he sees the great multitude that no one numbers. It's of them all the nations, and it's been gathered from all the nations and kindreds and the peoples and the tongues. And they're standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in their white robes and palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our Elohim, who sits upon the throne and upon the Lamb. And those goes on to worship him. The elders are there and the four beasts. And by the way, those beasts are actually the camping order. They're the same four that are the aspects of Yeshua, the man, the ox, the lion, and the eagle. It's those. And so it is the whole house of Israel, but it's also the whole character of Yahweh that's there. But then the elder comes to John and says, but who are those in those white robes that are there worshiping him? And where did they come from? And John says to him, sir, you know. And he says to John, these are they who come out of the tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white, and they are before the throne of Yahweh forever, serving him in the temple day and night. They are the ones gathered from the nations, but they came from the tribulation, my friend. They were in the tribulation if they came from the tribulation. So we have to realize that that is what we're really looking at, and not to be evaporated out of here like so much of the church is saying.
Yeah.
And then in Revelation 20, do we have time or are we finished?
No, we've got about another minute left.
Okay, and in Revelation 20, it describes the first resurrection, and it isn't the rapture. It's only those who have been beheaded for their testimony of Yeshua and the word of the Lord, being beheaded and not taking the mark of the beast. That's the first resurrection. And it says the rest of the dead do not rise again until the great judgment. And so that's when the dead in Christ are, it's at the end of the tribulation. We must see that's at the end of the tribulation that the dead in Christ rise. It isn't at the beginning, like we've been taught. So those were the things I wanted us to talk about, so that you're listening to the words of the Lord. And remember these. They come from Revelation 12. They overcome them by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto death. And here is the patience of the saints. They are the ones keeping the commandments of Yahweh and the faith of Yeshua. And the dragon is wroth with the woman when he goes out to make war with the remnant of her seed, or the ones that are not there in the right place, who
Joni,
keep the commandments of God and the testimony of Yeshua. So,
Joni,
blessed ones, that's who you are. Yes.
Okay, we are, we're out of time. I guess we're going to have you come back.
I did it. I got through it. Yay! With your help. Right. Thank you.
Bless you.
And bless you people. I'm praying for you and we'll welcome you there.
Okay. Love it. Come back.
Okay.
Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where we discuss the biblical roots of our people and our faith. Linked to Accurate Precious Metals Refineries, our morning show sponsor at HebrewNationOnline.com. Lines are open, so call 503-967-3001 if you would like to join in the conversation. You can also chat with us online in the morning show chat room at HebrewNation.net.
And welcome back to the second hour of the Hebrew Nation Morning Show with your two cup of Hebrews, Teresa Casalino, and me on this July 15th, 2015. We were just listening to Joni, and Teresa, I was shocked that nobody called in. I was shocked about that. I mean, are you there, Teresa?
Yeah, I was shocked too. I was hoping for some phone calls as well, thinking maybe people are on vacations or what have you, but we've been doing reruns for the last
year. Yeah.
So it may be that they were like, well, who knows?
We are live today, and we are absolutely live with Aliana and Ron Humphreys of JourneysRUs.com. These are the folks that are helping me put together the tour. Actually, they're putting it together and I'm going along for the ride as the teacher, to Jordan and Israel. And, you know, if I forget to say this, you know, if you want more information about, Joni or about Journeys R Us, and this, Jordan Israel tour, you can contact me, at any of the, email addresses that are on my websites and through Hebrew Nation Radio. And, so now we're going to go and get with, Ron and Aliana Humphreys. I'm sorry, Aliana. I was just having a little glitch right there. How are you?
We are doing great. How about you guys?
Doing
well,
good.
Yep, we're doing pretty good here, and Ron is with you this time. He wasn't able to be with you before, so how are you, Ron?
Well, I'm doing great. Thank you for having us, and we're excited about doing this trip. It's so much, so much history and so much to view and see. I know the teachings are going to be great also.
Well, you know, it's interesting that Joni was talking about Kadesh Barnea as one of the camping places of the children of Israel, and we're planning on going to a place that they believe is the camping place there at Kadesh Barnea.
Yeah, Kadesh Barnea, the site, we've been there, me and Aliana's been there like three times, I think, and it's, you can see the Paleo-Hebrew script or the stick figures and all, it's still there. And this is the site they have found all kinds of things there, excavating, for antiquities and all that shows and proves that Israel was camped there over 30 some years.
Wow.
To move them.
Well, I cannot wait to go see that. One of the things that I really liked about, the tour that you guys put together for Rico, last January was the archaeological stops that we did. And that was a marathon. That was a marathon trip, with the archaeological trips and all of that. But, we have, a lot of really good things planned. Why don't, one of you, fill everybody in on what we're going to do when we go first to Jordan and then to Israel. And in my, in my ad, I say, two countries, one price. So take it away.
That's a good word there, because you are going to be getting a lot for your money if, you know, because a lot of people, you know, they want to get their money's worth when they travel. So you will definitely do that. And Ron's going to, you know, give us a little synopsis of what the trip is going to entail.
Yeah, this is a very interesting trip. I've been to Jordan and to Petra 7 times. So I've seen the land. I've seen Aqaba and the land of Jordan quite a few times. And it's a beautiful, the landscapes are awesome. The sunset on the way back into Aqaba from Petra is incredible. It's beautiful. But to start with, we end up, we leave on Sunday, the 10th of January, and we arrive the next day in Tel Aviv on the Mediterranean and stay one night on the Mediterranean coast. And then we head from there the next morning early to Eilat, and then after lunch, we're going to cross over the border and go into Aqaba. We'll stay in, I saw the hotel. It yeah. is a 5-star hotel. It is beautiful.
Sweet.
Oh, so people, when they see this hotel, they're going to stay in. They're going like, wow, this thing is incredible.
Didn't say that. Yeah. Now, remember, we are camping at the Bedouin camp first before we go to the hotel. So
that hotel is going to look all the better, huh?
Right.
We planned it that way, right?
We planned it that way, so you'd really enjoy the hotel when you get there. It is a beautiful hotel, though. But we're going to be.
I heard staying with the Bedouins is a pretty amazing trip, too.
Yes, we'll be doing the Jeep tour there now.
The Jeep tour is going to take us out into from Aqaba to the land that we know of as Midian, which is now part of Jordan and part of Saudi Arabia, from my understanding. Yeah. This is where Moses fled from the Egyptians.
Wow, that's pretty crazy that you're walking on the same place where all our patriarchs, all these historical biblical figures walk. That's just amazing.
Right, yeah. And it's called Wadi Rum.
Wadi Rum, that's it, yes.
Yes, Wadi Rum, and we'll have a...
A Bedouin experience.
A Bedouin experience that's going to, that not everybody gets to do. I mean, this usually is not in a tour most of the time. So yeah. It's most of the time we're always in a hotel. But this is going to be a really good experience of what it's like to live on the land, be out in the open, although we'll be in tents sleeping, but you get the feel of the openness and the
yeah. From what I see, it's very comfortable for that night. We'll have a nice campfire. We'll have a nice Bedouin style meal. You have plenty to eat, and we'll get to do that Jeep tour or go around and see the sites that's in the area.
Yeah,
we have a tour guide. I understand is a very, very good, well known tour guide. A Jordanian yes. tour guide.
Yes.
Who knows the area real well. So I think this is going to be a great experience to see the colors of the rock, the desert itself, and understand the history that's behind this. And then we're going to spend that night there. And then the next day, if I'm not mistaken, I think we get ready to travel back toward Aqaba to head to Petra.
No, we're going to go to Petra, right.
Okay. And I've been to Petra 7 times, and it's beautiful. People just don't understand how the carvings in the sandstone yeah. of probably 7, 8, 9, 10 different colors. It's beautiful. And this was done by the Nabataeans many, many years ago, and it's still there. And they did as you go into the opening and you see the treasure building, that was on TV in the Raiders of the Lost Ark. That's when they ride out at the end of the movie, that's what they're singing.
Yes. You know something, you know, in the scripture that says that the children of Nebaoth will come to, will come to nurture you. And, you know, there you have Petra, and it's the Nebateans, the children of Nebaoth and Nebateans. I think they're the same people. I haven't really studied this, but there's such similar, you know, there's the names are so similar that there's got to be a relationship there. And I know that you're aware of this, Ron, but there are people who live there still. They live at Petra. I mean, they live on a ridge, and it's kind of up away from the rocky part of Petra, but they have houses up there. And I think they're the children of Nebaoth, the Nabateans.
Yeah, those people, the Bedouins that live there, the government of Jordan built some really nice places, built it's like a hotel or apartments, nice big apartments. I don't know how many of them they built for them to live in, and they didn't live in them very long. They didn't like the living style. So they moved, a lot of them, some might still be there, but a lot of them moved out, and they're still on the ridges and everywhere. They have their own encampments, and some of them even have TV access in their tents.
That's funny.
Yeah, it is. They have everything. They have running water, electricity, or not running water, but they have big tanks of water that the government brings to them, just like in Israel. So they have all the commodities they need to live and to get along in the desert. I think after Petra, our next spot would come. We don't stay in Petra. Come back, and this is the first night at the DoubleTree Hotel in Aqaba, if I'm not mistaken. And this hotel.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, it's very beautiful. And you'll get some good rest that night and a good dinner and all in Aqaba at the DoubleTree. I think the next day is a Friday, which Shabbat's coming. And we're going to be at the hotel, but we're going to get up and take our bus and go visit. I think, is it Joni and the people or the community of Aqaba that's believers?
Well, what we're going to do is probably go to the Red Sea and go shopping and get ready for Shabbat. We may have a meeting, on Erev Shabbat, but our big meeting is going to be on Shabbat day with the people there in Aqaba.
So that the Red Sea is just right there. And if you want, I think there will probably possibly very well be, just like on the side of Israel, you can rent for a very inexpensive price snorkeling equipment. And it is most awesome. If we have a chance and a time to do that, to go snorkeling in the Red Sea, the colors are beautiful.
It's beautiful. Yes.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Yes, you get to see all the different colored fish and the coral and the reefs that are there. I've done it, and it's beautiful.
And right there at the hotel, as you come out of the hotel, there's shops and restaurants and places to get Mediterranean cuisine and all kinds of shops and stuff. So it's a walking distance, and you're right there shopping that quick. So it's a great location. Before Shabbat comes in, we'll probably have time for that. And the next day, Saturday, Shabbat itself, I think this is the day we're going to spend some time with the community.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. We're going to have
what kind of time is being spent? Like, what are you going to do? Just hang in Midrash? And are these people that you already know? Or are you just going to be making friends? Are you guys going to be, putting out tracks? What are you doing?
Well, we're going to be putting out tracks, introducing them to the Lord. No.
Do you know Yeshua?
We haven't really discussed this part as deeply as we should probably have already. But I'm expecting that I will probably do a Torah portion on Erev Shabbat. Yeah. And then that frees up all of Shabbat for us to, we're going to have a meeting place and everybody come over, and we're going to have Oneg and just hang out with each other. Just get to know each other and talk. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, that'll be awesome.
Ask questions and just to see how people live in other places other than United States. It's incredible to talk to people about the weather, where how they live and what they do. It's very, very awesome.
Right. Right. So that'll be probably a nice, easy, restful day, which is probably something we're going to need after being out in the desert and walking all over Petra and then going swimming in the Red Sea. I think we're going to be pretty tired.
Yeah, especially when we come in from that flight and we head to Aqaba. We're going to be ready for the Shabbat.
Yeah. And then we're going to be staying for that Shabbat night, of course, again in the DoubleTree Hotel.
Yeah, it's a really nice hotel. Again, I think this will be nice. We'll get a good night's rest and be ready for our next day, which we will leave Jordan and Aqaba. It's on a Sunday, and we're going to cross the border. I think it's still called the Rose Border Crossing.
I think so.
Yeah, the Rose Border Crossing. And we're going to go from there. If we need to stop, there's always plenty of time to stop. And in Israel, they call it coffee out.
Yeah. Hillel, coffee in, coffee out.
Yeah, remember that.
And to say his name, Hillel, in Israel, while we're in Israel, he will be our guide, and he's probably one of the best I've ever had. He's just an awesome guy. He's very knowledgeable and very flexible.
Oh, he was a lot of fun. He's got this great sense of humor.
Yep.
And some of the things he taught us were so funny. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing Hillel again. And I like Alex, the bus driver.
Yeah, he was good. I'm not sure if we got Alex, but we'll try to see if we can get him. But Hillel will teach you the cowboy song, that's for sure. Everybody on the bus will sing the cowboy song more than one time.
We'll let that be a treat for everyone, so they'll come so they can hear him sing it.
Yeah,
it's funny. And so our first location that we're going to visit will be Masada, and that's an awesome. You can't go into Israel without seeing Masada. It's so much history. And it's beautiful when you take the trolley up cable car all the way to the top. It's not like it used to be years ago. They've really got a new cable car, holds about 100 people, very safe. You get on top and it's, Hillel will take us through. If you want to teach, up there, Kimberly, that'll be a good spot. I know a spot that you can probably go and we can set in away from everybody. And you can teach up there. It's over on this southern, southwestern corner.
Yeah,
that would be amazing.
I was amazed by the view from up there.
Isn't it awesome?
Yeah, it is.
You can see the Dead Sea from up there. You'll see parts of the Negev, and I mean, as far as your eyes can see, all around you, you can see the mountains of the Judean hills, everything, the whole. It's all right there on top. You're just looking at it all. It's so awesome. When we leave there, we're going to go into the Negev desert itself, and we're going to travel to our destination where we stay in the night. And it's a country lodge, but like a kibbutz kind of. And it's called Meshabe Sadeh. And, I think we've stayed there three times, and it's so comfortable. If it gets cool, you have heaters in your room, nice heaters. I mean, it keeps everything nice and warm. If not, it's a really nice, each room's really nice. It has your own shower. Everything you need. It's very comfortable. And then we'll eat there, of course. We'll have probably dinner that night there, and it's pretty good food. Again, it's Mediterranean-style cooking, and we'll do that and stay there overnight. And then the next morning, this is the one that I think that Teresa and you were talking about, is we're going to take the Jeep tour to Kadesh Barnea.
Yeah.
In that whole area. We're going to see Kadesh Barnea, but we'll probably see a couple other nice sites at the same time. So Kadesh Barnea is, you'll see an airstrip out there that the Israelis still use, that airstrip, or touch and go and such. But on other than that, it's just so much history in that desert out there. And it's just really awesome to see these stick figures that's been there for a long time.
Wow.
Hundreds of years that it's been there.
These are part of the rocks, right?
Yeah, they're in the rock, and you can't get them out. And they watch them, protect them very carefully. And so this will be very exciting for the people. And to hear the history.
Right. Right. You know, I want to emphasize, Ron and Aliana, that the reason that we're doing the tour this way is because we want to see where the children of Israel went for the first Exodus. Because especially in Jordan, that's where we're going to be for the second Exodus. And so when we get a chance to see all this history and verify that this is the places where the children of Israel are, this is where Moses was, the impact of that, of I don't know. Before I went to Israel, it was kind of academic. When I went to Israel and when I went to Jordan, it became real. Now I got it, you know, and that's the purpose for bringing people on this tour, is so that they actually get it. They've seen it. They know it's good. It's very good. And now they're ready to make the change from being in Babylon to being in the Father's land. That's the ultimate purpose, is to bring people to the Father's land.
I understand that. And what was her, Joni, is that her name?
Joni. Yes.
Yes. She mentioned something that absolutely is in Scripture, and that Messiah will come from Basra. And Basra is Edom, which is the land where Midianites or Midian is, and all
right.
That whole area there.
Right.
So she got that right on the money. So that's...
Yeah, this
his return.
This tour is the whole package deal. I like to look at it as the whole package.
Well, it's very comprehensive. I mean, you guys are going into the deserts, you're going into the cities, you're going into two countries, you're going to be dealing with all the local
people,
indigenous people to that area. Yes. Yeah, so you're going to be just really mixing it up. So you're going to get a little bit of everything.
Yeah, that evening when we get back from out, we're going to be a little tired, but we'll give you time to freshen up. We'll have dinner, and then I'm going to try to see if we can have a campfire we can go out and set around. And January, you'll need a campfire. It'll be a little bit cool in the evening, but not cold, but cool. And it'll be really, really awesome. Let me know ahead of time how much time I have left.
Okay, we've got about 2.5 or a minute and a half now.
All right, and is that it total?
Nope. Then you're going to come back after the break, and we're going to talk about from Jerusalem north.
Okay. So what I wanted to speak on is after we leave Meshavi Sadeh, the area, and we've had such a great experience so far, like you said, all the way from Aqaba to the Negev Desert in Israel. We're going to go the next morning, which is on a Tuesday. We're going to Hebron from there, where all the patriarchs are buried. And that, I've been there, I don't know how many times. It's awesome.
Yeah.
To see.
Yeah. I loved it when we were there. And remember the rabbi that brought the little boy, he was 13. Yep. And he said, this young man can quote the Torah. He can, that's 5 books of the Bible in Hebrew. He can quote the Torah. And I thought about Paul, because this has not changed for thousands of years. That these young men, they didn't just do a Torah portion. They actually could quote the Torah.
Yeah, every word.
I loved it. And then, you know, it was just kind of a spontaneous thing that happened there. That rabbi gave us a little talk, and I couldn't have been a better timing, you know, there at the the graves of Sarah and Abraham. We're going to have to take a break. And when we come back, we'll finish talking about what else we're going to do in Israel. Stay tuned.
Think on these things. Amen.
AM 1220, KPJC Salem.
The last half hour of this way too short Heber Nation Morning Show on July 15th, 2015 with Teresa Castellino and me, Kimberly Rogers, your two cup of Shebrews. Before we get going, I want to say this, and we'll probably say it again at the end. If you want to go on this tour, you need to sign up by August 15th in order to get the discount. And if you want to skip the discount and wait until October 15th is the cutoff date for signing up, go and take a look at Aliana and Ron's website, Journeys, that's plural, Journeys R Us, the letter R and US, Journeys R Us. com, and you'll find the tour on there. All this information is on there. And I think that you might have an MP3 file of mine talking about it on there too. I'm not sure, Aliana. You know, go over there and take a look and fill out the form and get signed up, because this is going to be an awesome tour.
Yes, it is. It's going to be exciting. What they need to do when they go to the website, they're not going to be able to fill out the form there. They just need to fill out the form there. It comes to us, and then we email them the registration and brochure, so they don't get confused there. So have them go there, or just contact us directly, journeysrus.com. Or journeysrus at gmail.com. So they can contact us and we'll get the brochure over to them right away.
Okay. And now, Ron, you were going to tell us about, we were at Hebron and what we were doing there. And so continue on.
Okay. Hebron is really a cool place to go. And one of the exciting things in Hebron is to go and see the site where the patriarchs are buried and all, and in that big building there. And it's very safe, very much under control of the Israeli army. And we don't have no problems. There hadn't been problems there in a long time. So it's very safe. But to go and see where the rabbis and all really believe when Abraham had the visitation of the three. There's a site. If we're not running late, we're going to try to get over to that site and have one of the rabbis will probably take us up to it, and he'll explain that nothing is being built or touched on this one little small area of land. And why is because this is, they say, without a doubt, the location of where Abraham had that visitation.
So,
yeah, it's there. So.
Yeah, we went there. We went there.
Yeah, we did. I thought we did. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a pretty cool area just to stand there. And when you read it in the scriptures, like, I stood right there.
I know.
Actually see at sight. Yeah. So most of the time when a rabbi says, when you get quite a few rabbis saying, yes, this is it, it pretty much is going to be, they're probably going to be right on target. That, right. This spot. All right. So Hebron is great. There's a place there we can have refreshments and all and buy souvenirs in Hebron right there. And then we move on from there and travel closer toward Jerusalem, and we're going to stop at the Herodian, built by Herod the Great. And it's a place where they just found last year, I think it was, or year before last, they just found his burial site because they were looking for years for it, and they just found it. And they got
it right by the water.
What's that?
Is this by the water?
No, no. This is okay. It's on the from the top of the Herodian. If you look toward the northwest, you can see Bethlehem. So that'll give you an understanding.
Okay.
And on top, or up there on the Herodian itself, they got shops and stuff, and you can buy snacks. But if you on a clear day, you can see the Dead Sea. Very good from there. That's how it's up pretty high.
That is pretty high.
But the bus takes you up to the shops and all, and they have good restrooms and all there. Then it's up to you if you want to take the hike up to the top of it. It's pretty interesting when you get up there to see it. But you definitely can see Bethlehem from there and parts of Jerusalem.
And it is a hike up there. We hiked it up there, and by the time we got done, I did need one of those magnums I was hearing so much about.
Yeah, those are magnums in Israel, not like magnums we have here. They're twice as big over there. And they're precious. The Israelis put, as far as I know, they don't put hormones in their cattle, so the ice cream tastes a lot better.
Mm.
It's good. So from here, we're going
into... I'll be the judge of that.
Yes, really. That's why. Look, when you go, you eat so good. All the good fruits and vegetables that they don't put chemical sprays all over them like we do here. And definitely no GMOs. So it tastes really good. You're going to lose a little weight. At the same time, you might gain a little too. But if you walk, we usually average 6 miles a day.
I started slimming down a little bit as, you know, we were walking around over there, even though I was really, you know, being hefty, at the dinner table.
You can be hefty. And if you walk the places we go, and the Herodian might be probably the only place we're going to go that I know of that's a good little hike. But the rest of the time, it's very easy for most people. We've had all kinds of people do the hikes all over the Israel, and it's been very easy. And it's in between times because you get in the bus and you go to another location. You have time to rest, and it's air conditioned bus, Wi-Fi usually on the bus, and it's really cool. Our next location is what we're looking for is from a Herodian. We'll be in about 10 minutes, 15, maybe 15 max. We're going to be in Jerusalem on the Mount of Olives. And we're going to view the Temple Mount and the Kidron Valley and see what they call the Jerusalem Gold. And that'll probably, unless we have a lot of time left, that'll probably end our day and we're overnight in our hotel. And
okay.
So we'll get dinner there. This is on a Tuesday. We'll have dinner at night. And if you want, any night you want to teach, we'll have a room where you can teach any night. Just let me know.
Okay, and what hotel are we staying in?
I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's the Inbal.
Okay.
It's a 5-star. It's awesome.
Okay. Okay.
So the next day, we get up, have breakfast. Every day, you're up early. You have breakfast usually by 7, 8 o'clock on the bus. If we're doing Jeep tours, usually by around 8, 8:30, we're in the Jeep ready to go. So I want everybody to kind of know that. So you're up kind of early. So you get to bed at night and get your rest and get up and be ready. You know, people say, well, are we going to get enough sleep and rest? And I says, usually you do. But you know what? If you don't, sleep when you get home.
Yeah.
This is an experience of a lifetime. The history, if you read your Bible, you're going to go back and look at all of this from the time the Israelites come out of Egypt. We're going to be in all these locations all the way through into Israel. and see where, and then see where the tribes occupied the lands, like this week's Torah portion is about the tribes and the journeys.
Yeah.
So, the next day is Wednesday, and this day we're going to hit up, from Jerusalem to the Galilee. And, we're going to go up the Mediterranean coast, and we're going to stop at Caesarea, Mount Carmel, see the Jezreel Valley, and whatever else we get in that day. And we'll have time probably that evening, to go shopping in Tiberias and see the city of Tiberias. And then we'll stay in our hotel. I think the hotel is, the Caesar Hotel, which is right on the Sea of Galilee. I mean, right on it. It's a good hotel, wow. Good food. I kind of like that hotel. And then, get our rest and dinner. Yeah. The food's good. I mean, when you get over there and you see it, it's all you can eat buffets on every, you get a buffet breakfast and a buffet dinner every day.
It must be very good because you said you particularly like this place.
Yeah, I do. The Caesar is a real good, hotel. The food was always very, plenty of it and is very excellent there. So, but all the hotels, we're not staying in any hotels that I know of. The Inn Ball, oh my gosh, you'll be spoiled there. That place is just like, I haven't eaten at the one, that's in, Aqaba.
The Double Tree.
Yeah, I haven't eaten at that, but it's a Hilton owns it. So I definitely think it was going to be Mediterranean style cuisine and it's going to be very good, probably.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard.
And what I also, while I'm thinking about it, want to let everybody know that the price of this tour is inclusive of all of your transportation. That means airplanes, buses to and fro to every place. It's all of your meals except lunch.
Yeah,
okay.
You're not spending money.
Right, exactly. And, it pays for all of your entrance fees and everything. I mean, everything is all inclusive. Really, the only thing that comes out of your own pocket is,
you're not giving
lunch.
Spending money.
Now,
you know,
we are taking care of your tips and taxes and everything else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your airfare there and back. And then
your airfare, I want to interject, your airfare is from JFK. International Airport.
All right.
Airlines.
Yes.
So, it's on LL Airlines also.
Right. Yeah. So you do have to get yourself to JFK.
Right. To JFK, get your domestic. And then from there, everything else is pretty much taken care of. You just got to, and lunches usually range from $5 to $7 or $8. And you can have a good falafel, good lunch, and it fills you up.
Right.
I would like to interject here that Southwest Airlines is running some really good airline deals right now. Really? And if you purchase on Southwest and you should find that you are unable to go, Southwest will return your money.
Oh,
so
that's good.
If you're considering going, but you're not sure if you can swing it, get your airline tickets with Southwest to New York at minimum.
Yeah.
And, you know, set yourselves up that way.
Yeah,
that's a good thought.
That's a good thought. And also JetBlue. Now JetBlue doesn't fly from all locations, but if you can get with JetBlue as well, they work with LL Airlines and you can like put your luggage on, where you check in at and it'll go all the way to Tel Aviv.
Somebody was calling you to sign up for this tour. Thank you.
We get them from all over the world. It won't surprise me if we don't have some people from other countries on this tour because it's all over everywhere. People see it. And usually every trip we do, we have two or three other countries that are there with us from the U.S. on the trips. That's a pretty awesome thing.
Right. We had people from other countries, with Rico's tour.
Yeah, we get them from all over Europe, South Africa, Canada, Puerto Rico, Australia. I mean, from everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere. They join and they're very much interested in. It's very interesting because that shows you that the God of Israel is working on the hearts of people all over the world.
Yes.
To bring us all together. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, we're not hitting. There's no place we can go that we are not accessible to him. That he has us.
Right.
In his hands.
Like it says, and the scripture says, and to all the parts of the world, his word will go. And I think that's pretty much there. It's pretty close to it. Now, if it hadn't already been, that his word would be all over.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's such a comfort to me. Go on. I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's okay. So right on the Sea of Galilee, and you can go out on their porch or their veranda out there and Sea of Galilee. At night, it's cool, but I tell you what, if you get up early in the morning at about 5:30, if you want to get up that early, and you go up to the top of the hotel out on the balcony up there, the sunrise coming up over the east from the Golan Heights is incredible. By the time it gets up and hits the Sea of Galilee, you're going to get some really awesome pictures. It's beautiful. It's so beautiful.
Oh, that sounds worthy of getting up that hour.
Oh, it is. I always do. I love have a cup of coffee. Because in your room, just about all your hotels, you'll have the hot water. I don't know about in the DoubleTree, but all of them in Israel, the hotels, you'll have a hot water pot and instant coffee and all, and tea, hot tea if you want it. It's in every room. So they'll be able to make their own and have it whenever they want it. Okay. All right, our next day, we're in the Sea of Galilee, and the next day we're going to get up and we're going to go to the what they call the Jesus boat. Our good friend Daniel Carmel, who's a believer and a recording artist, we're going to go on his boat out on the Sea of Galilee. And that's an experience.
Yes, it was. And, you know, we've had him on the show, Ron. We interviewed.
Yeah, he's a good buddy of mine. He's a good friend. We usually have time to go have coffee with him somewhere in Tiberias. He's just a really awesome guy, and he loves the Lord. And when he sings How Great Thou Art in Hebrew and English, you just break down in tears. I mean, Sea of Galilee, where it could have got real rough, and the Lord was there with his disciples, and he's singing How Great Thou Art, and just like, you can't hold it back. I see people everywhere, guys even getting their hankies out.
Oh yeah, yeah. It was hanky time for that. Yep.
Yes, it was. Me and Rico every time. Rico looked at me and I said, "Oh no, here we go." And both of us, we can't hold it back. We both start sobbing, tears coming out of our eyes. So it's a great time to go. So we're going to do that boat, and then I think we're going to see a few other things, Mount of Beatitudes, maybe Capernaum too, and go up to Katrine. And there's a place up there in Katrine. Three things we want to see. One is they have a winery up there. If we have time, we'll go to it if the people want. And then there's the olive oil factory, and you'll get to go and see how they make olive oil today. And the gentleman's really – he's a really nice guy. I know him. And then we're going to go right from there, about 3 minutes, 4 minute drive. And there's what they call the ancient Talmudic village. And that is incredible to see how they restored this old Talmudic village during the times of the Talmud, very way back, long time ago. And, we'll get to see that. And then right across the street from all of this is, of course, there's a shopping center where we can go and have lunch there or another place, whatever. There's always some place to get a good lunch somewhere, always. And Hillel knows them all.
Yes, all right. He does. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we had some pretty awesome lunches.
Yeah, well, Rico has to stop there because he likes that one that has the beef.
Yes.
It's the most kosher beef in anywhere you can find and so tender. But we get a count of who wants a big steak or just a hamburger, a big hamburger. And it's all kosher beef, and it's, oh, my gosh, it's out of this world.
Yeah.
And all the trimmings that go with it and everything. So it's really cool. But anyway, it's a great experience to go to Katrine and to see all these different things that's up in that area. And they're really growing up there in that area. So once we do that, we're back in Tiberias that evening, at our hotel, the Caesar Hotel, and we get up the next morning, which will be Friday morning, and we head down to Jordan Valley and experience all of the different places as we go down through it. Sometimes Hillel will point out that's the mountains Samaria. And we'll point those out and other things that happen, different things that happen in the Bible. He'll point them out as we go down the Jordan Valley and take that bus ride. It's about a 2-hour ride, but it's a good one. We'll stop and have our coffee out time and all, and get a little snack, maybe something to eat. And then we're going to go down to we're heading toward to go up to Jerusalem, not down, but up to Jerusalem. So we're going to travel to back to Jerusalem, and we're going to stop and get out and go to the Kotel or the Wailing Wall and have time for prayer and all at the Kotel. And we're going to do the Wilson's Dry Tunnel, the City of David, and the Pool of Siloam, or the Pool of Shiloh in the Hebrew. And that's a great experience to go through that dry tunnel and see the, you're actually walking in the City of David, where they continually finding things that point that David was here. He was real. And then we're going to go to the Bible Lands Museum, and that itself tells a whole story. It's awesome. The stuff redone at, it's just really cool.
And we'll there's do a that. Lot on this trip, Ron.
I know. But most of this every day, we can get most all this in. And sometimes if we don't, we get it the next day. We're able to pick it up. So
it's we sure got it in when we did Rico's tour. So, you know, I'm sure.
We're not running to see.
No.
We're taking our time.
I know. Well, that was the amazing thing.
Yeah. About four, maybe if you're in Jerusalem, you can do 5 sites a day. But other than that, 3 to 4 sites a day you'll get to see. So you get to see some of the main things that's in Israel that's biblical and all. That's really awesome to see. And when you listen to Hillel speak on some of it, and then when you do your teachings, either in the evening or you can even teach on the bus if you want. That's up to you. Something like going down to Jordan Valley, if you want to do a 30-minute or an hour teaching, because we got 2 hours on that bus, then you can do a teaching on the bus also.
Okay.
That'd be great because you got their undivided. I mean, they might be looking out the windows. They might be seeing the sheep herds and the goat herds and and the Bedouins out there got them and doing their thing. But you'll have plenty of time to do a great teaching. Is Teresa, are you going to?
No, not at this time.
Oh, she's not? Okay.
No. But Laura, I know Laura Dunsmore is going.
Okay.
And I know you've got a number of other people signed up already. If people are interested in this, I think, Kimberly, the easiest place for them to go would be to the Beast Watch News or the Messianic Message. But they're also available, Journeys Are Us.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, we've got
on Facebook and as a website.
Right. Yes. Yes. And you can very easily find the link and the ad for this. It'll take you right over to journeysrus.com. And we've got about 1.5 minutes. So, Ron, we're going to have to wrap it up.
Okay. Well, we're right at the end of the tour. The next day is Saturday. It's a free day. Pack. Get yourself a good hot shower. They'll probably let us stay in a hotel kind of till like 4 o'clock or so. Then we can check out. We're going to head toward Tel Aviv, but just right outside Jerusalem is a place we call Abu Ghosh, and it's an Arab village, but it's very modern Arab village. They're very nice. They love to see Israelis go there all the time, and we will have our last meal. Our dinner will be there, and you're talking about a meal. That is awesome. They cook some really awesome chicken, sometimes lamb, I mean, everything.
Yep. It was good. It was good.
Yes.
Well, so then
great trip.
Yep. And so then we're going to be done. We'll be getting in the airplane and headed back home
to the
United States
or whatever country you're from.
Yep. Yep. So, okay. Wow.
So, yeah, take advantage of Southwest because, like I said, they've got some really good airfares going on right now.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, we're coming up against the end of the show right now.
All right.
And so, wanted to just really thank you guys for coming on. I appreciate it. We're looking forward to this tour.
Light now shines, the darkness must flee, the darkness must flee from the living word. His light now shines, the darkness must flee, Yeshua is the light of the world.